Yesterday on Daf Chav Beis, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, regarding Reb Chiya, that when he got to the pasuk V'chikisi Lashem, he would read it V'chikisi, and that's Mecharif Agadev. So Tosus here, Dibra Masuk Sha'ata, asks the following question: if Rabbi Chiya was not able to pronounce a ches, how is it that in the Gemara in Tainis, Rebbe Horidu Rebbe Lifnei Ateva Shagazar Tainis Al Geshomim, Rebbe appointed Reb Chiya as the Shliach Tzibur in the Tainis Geshomim, and now we have a principle of Ein Moridu Me'anshei Beis Chefa, because they couldn't pronounce the letters properly, the Ayin, the Aleph. So Tosus answers that Enochinami, in theory, Rabbi Chiya could pronounce a ches al yidei Torah if he worked hard. And Kevin Shasham Amalol Yosha Tfilosim Kubelis BeYoser VaYodetap Temayer HaGeula Horido. In other words, there was a pressing need for them to appoint Rabbi Chiya as the Shliach Tzibur, and he would make a tremendous effort to pronounce the ches. Tosfos Bava Metzia on Daf Pei Vav gives a slightly different answer, and he says that if there's someone else who can be a candidate for Shliach Tzibur, then we prefer someone else. But in a situation where there's no one else, then even someone like Rav Chiya could be Yorid Lifnei Ateva. And the Pri Chodesh writes that it makes sense, more sense, to say that if we were to say that he could read Bedochak a ches if he pushed himself, then why did Rebbe say to him that when you, Reb Chiya, reach the V'chikisi, you're going to say V'chikisi? How did he know that? Maybe in fact Reb Chiya would make an effort, B'torach Gadol, and he'll read it properly, and he wouldn't be a Macharif. So the Chidon Birchei Yosef writes that what Tosus means, that he could have pushed himself, so to speak, it means that when it says Kshata Magia, in other words, Im Techavin V'titrach, if you'll put all your energies into it, and you'll say a ches and pronounce it right, but if you're reading the Nevi'im, then once you're reading the Nevi'im, you're not going to put in that extra effort. You're going to, when you get to V'chikesi, you're going to read a V'chikesi, and therefore lo nimtzei smachayif v'magadev. Now the Birkei Yosef writes that Misha darko likro li alfin einin v'chadome af im omer shiyosim libo likro v'dochak. A person who generally does not differentiate between an Aleph and Ayin, we're not going to appoint him as a Shliach Tzibur, even if he comes forward and he says, I'll work harder. And therefore, after Tosus presents the thesis that Reb Chiya would have and could have read Bedochak with a ches, Tosus felt compelled to add that Elio told Rebbe, Shal Yodo Tamara Gu'ula Vohorido. That's why did Tosus need this additional point that Elio told Rebbe and so forth? Elevade, it must be that in Lokain, Afshata Yochol Chavin, Ein Morino. So even though you could push yourself and be careful about pronouncing a ches, you would not be appointed as a Shliach Tzibur. Now, we have a principle called Dash Be'iro. And Rashi says, Hoy regilu bo anshe iro, muta, kevin shalom mistaklin bo'od. As we discussed, if the people of the city are used to seeing him over the period of a long period of time, then they're not going to look at that blemish and be distracted from Birchas Kohanim. So the Taz asks the following question, Avshalom mistaklim go. Even if people wouldn't look and be distracted, but nevertheless it should be also because of what the Gemara establishes in Soto Lamin Ches, that Birchas Kohanim Huksha, meaning it was compared to Shiros B'Beis HaMikdash, to the Levim singing in the Beis HaMikdash. It came in Shabbal Mum Posel Yavoda in Kain Yeh Posel Aflu Bracha. If Birchas Kohen Nesias Kapayim has in this analogy is compared to Shiros Beis HaMikdash, then if there's a psul for whatever blemish he has on his hands or other similar blemishes, then even if they're not mistaken by other, he should be possible for Nesias Kapayim based on the fact that he'd be possible in Beis HaMikdash for the Avoda. And here's where the Taz offers an answer. He says that in the parasha Noso Birchas Kohen Daber Bnei Yisrael Velbanov Mashma Kolbanov Af Bali Mumin, there's a special ribui to include Bali Mumin in Sias Kapayim, and therefore he says there are two psulim in Birchas Kohen. One is the psul in Gufo Shel Adam, if there's some change in the Bria, he's a Balmum. And that case is kosher for Nesias Kapayim based on the ribui of Dabrel Bnei Yisrael Ve'el Bonov. But there's another category of psul, which is totally b'maisa. For example, he's Yoshev, the Kohen sits, v'yochel lamod, and he could stand. That has no connection to the ribui of Bonov. In other words, he's still considered Bonov, but he has a psul maisa. The hekesh between bracha and shiros in Migdash is only as far as something that's biyad ha'adam l'takin. For example, yeshiva, v'amida, the psul of ma'isa, or shesuyayin, shizor shel lishtos. But as far as mumin, which is not biyad ha'adam, it's in his body, he has no choice, he has no control of it, he cannot change the mum, is then Shavkidina Mashmo Shel Bonov, we go back to the original Ribuy of Bonov, and even Bali Mumim are included. Now, in the case of Mum Shebaraglov, Tosus writes in Dir Maskal Im, that even though Mumin Shebiyodov is Mutabidosh Be'iro, but what about Mumin Shebaraglov, the Turiyemen? Says that in Mumin Shebiyado, or Biyadov, or Bepanov, Dosh Be'iro is a mitigating factor, Hurgulubakach, and therefore he mistaken. But Mumin Shebaraglov, since he walks the whole day wearing shoes, nobody gets used to seeing the mum that's below his shoes on his feet, and therefore when he takes off his shoes for Birchas Kohen, and people are going to look, and therefore he should not be Nosias Kapo. So Mumin here with Dosh Be'iro is a mitigating factor in the case of Mumin Shebiyodav upon of a people of Dosh, but not Mumin in a part of the body that normally would be covered but for Birchas Kohanim is exposed, namely on the feet. Now Rabbeinu Avram bin Ahar writes that this din of Dosh Be'iro's Mutter, which is formulated in the Braisa, applies to a Zalv Gagan or a Suma Be'achas Me'enov, but we're not going to apply the principle of Dosh Be'iro Mutter to Mumin She'eno Mitzuyin. So when we have Mumin Mitzuyin, and there are many people who suffer from this blemish, then we could say Dosh Be'iro. But something like a Mum She'eno Motsui, remember we had the Gemara before about Yodav Akushos or Akumos, his hands are Fakrum, they're bent this way, they're bent that way. He says, even if it was Dash Be'iru, be also Dain Mestaklimbo, people are distracted, because it's a Mum Sheino Motsu, it's a rare kind of Mum. And based on this, he says, it doesn't say on these Mumim of Yodayim Akushos and Akumos in the Braisa that Dash Be'iru is Mutter. And he makes the equation also to the case of Yodav Tzvuos Stis, right? He has those the red or black kinds of stains, dark blue stains on his hands. He says the only heter in those cases for Nesias Kapayim is because Rov Malachtim Shalan She'ir Bekach. But we're not going to say dosh pe'iros mutter. We can only say that most of the people working in that field, the city is full of people in that malacha, that's different. So that's called matzui. But if, let's say, in that city, people don't work in that field, you know, they're not dyers, and therefore the dye in his hand is a dovashen of matzui, in such a case, we're not going to apply the principle of dosh pe'iro mutter. The Sfasemis writes that it's possible that if he's dosh be'iro, then it's mutter for him to be nosias kapav even in another city where that mum is lo shkiyah. However, it means that he is nosias kapav on a very temporary basis in another city, right? It's a rare kind of occasion, and therefore it's called a milsa de lo shchicha. And we have a principle of milsa de lo shchicha lo gozu pe rabbanon. So in other words, these psulim were instituted by Chazal because it might distract and so forth and so on, but they would not institute that psul in a case of milsa de lo shchicha, where this kohen finds himself in a foreign city. Now, getting back to the mashal of Rabbi Yossi, you remember with the blind person that he's holding the torch, and he states, "Kol zman shavuka biyadi b'nei adam roim osi," I benefit from the light because people will see me and they'll make sure that I don't fall into a ditch. So the Marsha is a kasha. He says, since if he doesn't have an avuka biyado, and it's afelo, it's pitch black, and bnei adam will not be able to see him, so why does the pasuk mention iver? Why does the pasuk have to mention blindness here? It's an afelo. We're talking about such a thick darkness, in which case there's no difference between a person who's healthy and has the parasite and a person who never is blind. Even a person who has the sight cannot see anything, and he won't be able to be careful about boros v'kotzin ubarkanim. So how is the klola intensified based on the fact that it's an iver situation? And the Marsha answers that in any event, the pikeach, since he knows the Shvili Ha'ir, he's been walking in that path for the last X number of years, so he's very comfortable and he won't fall in. Therefore, Afelu would not be such a curse. But Iver and Afelu, that's a double whammy. That's really severe. Now, we mentioned before that the psul of Balmum, as far as the Nesias Kapayim, is only the Rabbanon. The Turiyevan says the fact that the problem, as we saw, is because ha'am mistaklim bo, that's not a doraisa psul, that's only psul d'rabban. And he says that if it would be awesome for him to be ola l'duchim midoraisa, then why do we limit it to mumin shebapano of yod v'raglov? We should say any avarim, any parts of his body, even if they're covered, should disqualify him for Nesias Kapayim. Apparently the whole deal is only based on Mistaklim, and that's Gzeiras Chachamim, and hence the Psul is only Dirabban. Now let's point out that in Masechta Chagiga Tezayin, where, and Rashi quotes this Gemara, Mistakl B'Kohen B'Shal Shenosim Eskapev Yodov Chaos Mitnei Shashlin Eshar Al Pneim. So in other words, the reason why in these cases of mumin lo yisoponov is because he'll be mistakel b'mum, he'll be mistakel also b'yadov, and the shechina is shora al yideim. And Tosus there asks Akasha in Masechta Chagiga. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that that's only bizman she beis hamikdash hayakayim and they were mevarach b'shem ha'meforosh. How could Rashi therefore quote this Gemara in Chagiga to explain our contemporary situation, Begvulin, We're not talking the Beis HaMikdash. Where's there a psuli of Shem Yistakel? You know, the whole deal with the Shechina Shor Al Yudem is only in the Beis HaMikdash, where they recited, they enunciated the Shema Mefurash. So perhaps we can understand that even in Gvulin, you're not allowed to be Mistakel B'Yudem for a different reason, Mishum Hesech Hadas. And the Tur Yevin writes that Rashi in the Mishnah is going to explain the reason for Shechina Shor Al Yudeyem, because he's bothered by the following question: why does the Mishnah say that only a Kohen Sheish B'Yodov movement? Why B'Yodov? Why not just say Panav V'Raglov? It must be the Mishnah is talking Bizman Beis HaMikdash, and the reason for the Isur is because the Shechina Shor Al Yudeyem, and that Tam is only Shach with regard to Yodayim, but not with regard to Raglayim. Now, even in the Beis HaMikdash, why do we need this Shechina? Why not just say it's also Mitam Hesech Hadas, like in Gvulin? We already have that Easter in Gvulin. Why not apply that in the Beis HaMikdash? And once again, the question now arises: why did the Mishnah mention part of a Raglav? Because part of a raglav would be a sufficient reason to passel them without the reasoning of Shechina, with the reasoning of Hesech Hadas. So if the Mishnah is talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Issur is predicated on the Shechina, then why not also apply the same yardstick, the same reasoning that applies in Gvulin, namely Hesed Hadas, and then we can expand the Psulim beyond this Yadayim to Panav Raglav. So Turiyevin says, Yeshnomer Nafkeminim, Noseas Kapa Betzibur, Shekulim Zrizim Lechavin, Sha'af Im Yistaklu Lo Yasichu Daita, Mikomuk Bo'osim Yishum Shashchina Shor Al Yedeyim. She suggests a pretty radical idea that our Mishnah wants to base itself, carve out a reasoning that will apply always, under all circumstances. The reasoning of Hesech Hadas is not, shall we say, absolute. It's not always applicable. If you have a Tzibur Shekulam's reason Lechavin, again, I don't know exactly how you would determine that, then you would not apply the principle of Hesech Hadas, but nevertheless there would be a principle of Hashchina Shor Al Yedeihem. And the Dvar Avram writes that the mitzvah incumbent upon Klal Yisrael Lihizbarech, just like the mitzvah incumbent upon the Kohen Levarech, and just the Kohen is mitzvah Levarech once a day, he's not chayev more than once a day, so to Israel is only mitzuvah lizbarech pamachas biyom. If that be the case, nafkemi beofen shatzivu kriyas baruch hu shebazeh lo shech hatam sheyasichu daitam mishum sheinam mechuyovim achim yeshas hatam sheinav keos, is that tam would apply. So therefore the Dvar Avraham wants to say the Mishnah went out of its way to focus on this problem of Shechina, because if, let's say, this is a second round on this day for Nesi'is Kapayim, there would be no problem of Hesech Hadas because he's not mechuyev in Birkas Kohen, and once he heard it once a day. Now Tosa Rosh offers a different reason why it's also istakel b'yad Kohenim even b'zman hazeh. He says even though the Kohenim today do not recite and enunciate the Shema first, nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meitzitz, he looks, he peeks between the Kishrei Asbos of the Kohenim. And this is based on a pasuk in Shir Hashir, Mashgiach min Achalonos, Meitzitz min Acharachim. So even without the name of God, even without the Shema Meforash, nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somehow, maybe it's not the Shechina Shor Al Yedeyim, but it's meitzitz min Acharachim, Mibein Kishrei Asbos Shel HaKohenim. Now, if a Kohen, instead of pronouncing Yo'er Hashem with an Aleph, he would say Yo'er with an Ayin, So that would be a psul. The Gemara seems to assume that it's a psul because he's not pronouncing the word correctly, but in truth, there's a more fundamental psul. Namely, he's changing the lashon of the bracha. It's like Mishana Mimadbeash Tomu Chachomim. In this case, of course, we're dealing with the Doraisa. And furthermore, Rashi says that the problem with Yo'er Hashem with an ayin is that it's a lashon klola, which seems to imply that if not for the reasoning of klola, then it would be okay for them to be nosias kapea. And the question is, if they change the pronunciation, therefore changing the word, then it's not going to be a bracha. And it's a pegima, it's being pogame, the loshen atfila, matbeishal tefila. And we have a rule that anything that's pogame, the loshen atfila, passes the tefila. It simply makes it invalid. So why does Rashi need this loshen klola? So Tureven answers, if not for the fact that switching the aleph with an ayin would make it into a klola, then we would allow the kohenim to be nosias kapeim, because even in tefillah, chachomer only makpid as far as someone who's appointed as a shliach tzibur, that he can't be motzi achirim, but as far as liatzmo is concerned, we never found that the halacha is so strict that he can't pray privately for himself if he mispronounces words. And in such a case, we're not going to force him to look for someone who pronounces the words properly to read it for him, and he'll listen to that prayer. Is therefore Nesias Kapayim, where he's not being Motzi Acherim Yidei Chovasam, is we aren't makpid for the change in the Lashon Abroch. But we're makpid, of course, if it's changed from a Lashon Klola to a Lashon Brocha. So yesterday we were discussing Nesias Kapayim on Daf Chav Talad Amid Beis, and we spoke about a case of a Suma Bi'achas Me'enov. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo Yisa Es Kapa, unless he's Dosh Be'iro. In other words, in his city, the people see him, they get used to him, and then he's allowed to be Nosis Kapa, because the people won't be shocked and distracted by what they see, because they got used to him. So I have here a comment from the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha, and he writes that this whole discussion about Suma Bi'achas Me'enov regarding the Nesias Kapayim only applies if it's nikar, it's clear to the observer that he's a suma, that he's blind, and therefore they're going to come to be distracted. But he says that if Einov Niros Kishel Kol Adam, if his eyes look like the eyes of anyone, just that he can't see, then he's allowed to be Nesias Kapa. And the Kafachayim says the exact opposite. He says that if a person is he calls it a pella, you know, this is a very unique phenomenon, that afshe eino rov einov niros kishel kol adam, even though his eyes look normal but he can't see, then adra, people are more curious about such a person, and even in this case they'll be distracted, and we're afraid that they won't concentrate on the Birchas Kohen. Now, all these problems would apply if it's the first time on this particular day that the Kohen is Nosias Kapa, or the people are listening to him. But theoretically, you could have a case where a Kohen, on the same day, he went from one minion to the other. Let's say he was Nosias Kapa of minion A, and then they needed him in minion B, and he acquiesced and agreed to be Nosias Kapa in the second minion. Or, for example, let's say you heard Birchas Kohanim in one minion, and now you joined another minion for whatever reason, and you're hearing it for the second time. In that case, then this whole business about Hesech Hadas, that because of the unusual blemish of the Kohen, people will be distracted, that doesn't really apply, because they're not chayav in Birchas Kohanim. They already received the bracha or gave the bracha. Now, we discussed yesterday also a case of a person who declares, he makes a proclamation that I'm not going to be a shliach tzibur if I'm wearing colored shirts. I don't think you were here, Jerry. This was before, after you left. And the Mishnah says in such a case, he's acting like a tzduki, like a min. You know, the minim were very makpid that you know, in prayer you shouldn't wear a colored shirt. And as a result, we're not going to allow him to be the shliach tzibur. So here's a machlok between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes that dafka in this particular tefillah, we're going to exclude him as a shliach tzibur. And the Ravid goes as far as to say that if we're afraid that he's a min, that he's, you know, living like these tzdukim and believing what they believe, then even for other tefillos, he's not going to be able to be the shliach tzibur. We have to completely exclude him. So we'll try to give an idea a little bit later on as to why the Rambam feels that he's only excluded for this particular tefillah, but not beyond. Now here I want to present a question of the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan has a question on the Rambam from another Rambam. Here the Rambam says that if he insists that only someone who's wearing a white shirt is allowed to be the Shliach Tzibur, but not someone in a blue shirt. The Rambam says we're not going to allow him to be the Shliach Tzibur on this particular tefillah when he made that declaration. But beyond that, he is kosher the tefillah. And this is against another Rambam. Why? The Gemara in Chulin speaks about another kind of minus, a kind of phenomenon that was typical of those heretics. And what they did was, they made a proclamation that Asur Lishchot Bishuk B'toch Guma, I'm sorry, that they would shecht in a Guma, they would make sure it was like subterranean. And therefore Chazal said that we're not allowed to shecht in that same position, B'toch Guma, because it looks like we're copying the Goyim. B'chukosem lo teilechu. What happens if the Shochet went ahead and he was makpid to do the Shechita down in the Guma? So the Rambam writes in such a case, Asur lechol mishchitoso. We assume he's an apikoros, meaning he's a min, because he was makpid to shech down in the Guma like the Goyim did, and therefore we're not allowed to eat from his Shechita. And the implication of the Rambam is that you're not allowed to eat from any of his Shechita from now until doomsday. So why is it that with regard to the chashash minus in the case of someone who says you can only daven for the shliach tzibur if you're wearing white shirts and not blue shirts, why is it there the Rambam insists that he's only disqualified for this tefillah, whereas the Rambam in Shechita b'toch haguma says he's possible for all Shechita? And the Turi Evan comes up with a brilliant insight here. He says the following, that in Shechita you're guilty until proven innocent. Why? Because we have a principle called Hamed Behem Al Cheskas Isur, that an animal Bechayeha is Becheskas Isur. Until you know it was shefted properly, you assume that it's Nevela. And therefore, that Chazaka tells me that if you have questions about a person, you think he might be a Min, an Apikoros, who's possible Shechita because he's makpid to do the Shechita down in the Guma. So we can never eat from a Shechita because we always have to go back to the previous Chazak. And the previous Chazak was that the animal is considered to be awesome until we know for sure it's guilty until it's innocent, that we can prove that the Shechita was a Shechita Kshera. Masha'enke, as far as Tefillah is concerned, to be a Shliach Tzibur, every Jew is endowed with a Cheskes Kashrus. We believe that every Jew is kosher with Tefillah unless we know otherwise. So here, it's innocent until proven guilty. And therefore, if you don't know whether he was Nizrika Bominus or not, you know, because he says he can't daven for the omen without a white shirt, then it's a suffix. So in a suffix situation, we'll be machber for this tefillah, but as far as his future status is concerned, we apply the principle of Uki Gavra Aches Kasa. And therefore, I said to you before, Jerry, that the Rambam holds that a person who declares that you can't be a Shliach Tzibur if you're wearing begadim tzvuim, colored garments, is only possible for this tefillah. And the Ravid argues he should be possible from now on because we're afraid that he's a min. So the answer is that he has a cheskes kashrus. And that's what we're going to say. All right, we're ready to start the new Mishnah. Let's turn to, actually, we're up to Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, but we still have one more line on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis.
One word,
I meant to say. I said one more. I'm so distracted because of the noise here. I don't know. We'll see if we can do the best we can in the situation that we find ourselves. I didn't know that that at this time in the morning they set up the... It could be because tomorrow, you know, a lot of the area is going to be closed off.
Right, he usually come.
No, that's actually on Friday. That's
Friday. Friday it's closed off.
Yeah, so why couldn't...
Yeah, it's just about an hour early. He comes every Wednesday.
But he comes on Wednesdays. I see. He came early today.
He came early, yeah. He comes usually after
this. Okay.
He's also...
Yeah.
For the run, I guess.
Now, if you count up... A few lines before, but before the end of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, let's count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. And the last thing we discussed yesterday was round tefillin. And the Mishnah says that Ha'oset Tfiloso Agula, if his tefillin are round, Rashi says we're talking about tefillin shel Rosh. Sakana v'ein ba mitzvah. So let's understand this phrase in the Mishnah, sakana v'ein ba mitzvah. Rashi says the following. Sakana. You'll see this about, I'd say, be'erach 10 lines up from the bottom of the page in Rashi. Sakana. Wait a minute, there's one Rashi before that. Ha'oset tfiloso agula. Is tfilin sheberosho. Agula kebeitza uke egos. Now, an egos, if you'll grant me this premise, is absolutely round. A beitza is not absolutely round. Is that correct?
Correct.
So Rashi is being mechadish a chiddush here by adding the word beitza, that even though his tefillin shel Rosh are not absolutely round, nevertheless they're excluded. And we're going to see in the Gemara that really depends upon how to interpret a brisa. So we'll get to that very shortly. Sakana, what's the danger here? Rashi says Shalotikane's berosho, that the tefillin might go into his head, and that's a real danger. And the bar mitzvah Rashi says the merubos be'inon. We need that the tefillin be absolutely square. Now, as far as this Rashi about sakana,
where's this Rashi?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's about 10 lines up from the bottom. The word sakana on daf chav dalet amid beis.
It's in the Mishnah. Okay, we got okay.
Do you see it? Okay.
Oh, sakana shalot. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So now, let's talk a minute about sakana. Rashi here in Masechta Megillah doesn't exactly give us details. He just says shalotikanis berosho. So the Mefarshim say that and I mentioned it yesterday, that the place where you put the tefillin is the softest part of your head, and that could be dangerous. But Rashi elsewhere in Masechta Menachos gives us a little bit more insight into this sakana. And Rashi says that when we wear tefillin and we walk through an opening, through a door, it's very possible that our head would bang up against the askupa, that's the top part of the doorpost that's on top of his head. Now normally, if he's not wearing tefillin, so he's more aware of that, and he makes sure, if he's very tall, I guess he bends his head a little bit. But here that he's wearing tefillin, Rashi's lashon is yikansu atfilin l'toch rosho. Rashi says that the tefillin will go into his head. So Rashi's talking about a sakana that is caused because The tefillin shel rosh don't have what's called a base moshav. Base moshav means it doesn't have a flat surface on the bottom on which it's sitting. And if it's a hard, round ball, it goes right into his head if there's pressure on it. And other mefarshim say that they don't have this business about, that you're going through a door, but they say because of the dochak of the tzibur, that because people are crowded together, then it's very possible that one person could bang into the other and his round tefillin are going to go into his head. Now the Rebbe Lumiel, the names are not important, but he says that there's even a problem with round tefillin shel yad as far as sakon is concerned, because it might penetrate into his arm or into the side of his body. Again, if there's dochak atzibur, then somebody sitting to your left or to your right might push into you, and that could be even a sakana in round tefillin shel yad. Rashi says we're talking about tefillin shel rosh because Rashi's worried about that sakana. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos Divrei Masel Sakana, he quotes Rabbi Netanya as a whole different approach as to what the sakana is, and he says that this sakana is a result of the fact of Ein Bar Mitzvah. Ein Bar Mitzvah means that we require square tefillin, and since here the tefillin are not square, they're round, then they're posel. And Rabbeinu Tam says that as a result of the fact that the tefillin are posel, they will not be able to protect him. And he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos called Elisha Bala Knafayim to prove that tefillin could protect a person in danger. So Rabbeinu Tam is not worried about the round tefillin banging into his head and injuring him the way Rashi is. He's just worried about any sakana that might come along. And as a result of that sakana, if his tefillin are posel, he has no protection from his tefillin. Now I have here a list of 5 questions on Rabbeinu Tam without any answers. So I'm just going to read to you quickly some of these questions that are raised by the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan asks in the following. There are many, many different psulim in tefillin. The roundness of the tefillin is just one example of amongst many. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, why did the Mishnah focus on round? If the whole issue of the Mishnah is that it's a psul, and therefore it's not megan, it doesn't protect him. So kol shel lo oisa tefillin kilchasa, v'ein bar mitzvah, ein megidah min hasakana. So why dafka the round tefillin? Bishlam, according to Rashi, the sakana is generated by the roundness of the tefillin. Furthermore, he says, why is this halach in tefillin according to Rabbeinu Tam? Every mitzvah that you would engage in has the power to protect you, not just tefillin. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam's answer would be that tefillin have a special power to protect you, even in a miraculous way, like we saw in Elisha Bala Knafayim. He asks a third question. He says, the Mishnah doesn't seem to be telling me any chiddush here. If he didn't fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, then for sure it's not going to be megan. Was there ever a havamina that would protect him from sakana if it's not a mitzvah? Another kashi asks is that the Gemara says in Menachos with regard to mezuzah, that if we'd hang up a mezuzah on a pole or behind his door, it also says there sakana v'yena mitzvah. And there Rabbeinu Tam says that in talab makel or me'achori adeles who makibos rosho, the tefillin might hit him over the head. V'havi sakana. So it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam is himself elsewhere is moda that the word sakana in the Mishnah means literally a danger. Now, why is it that Rabbeinu Tam shies away from Rashi? Rashi seems to be the simplest pshat. Lo rotzel afarish kapirish Rashi shom shapirish. Oh, because Rashi in Masechta Menachos says that the mezuzah is not going to protect him, and Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like it because why does it have to say that he did it this way, he did it that way, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam says the way he did it was a sakana. In any event, Rabosa, you could see why Rashi did not like his anacles pshat here, and he avoided it because there's so many questions and objections to raise on Rabbeinu Tam. Obviously, Rabbeinu Tam had answers to these questions. We're not sure what they are. Okay. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say that Nosnal Metzcho or Al Pas Yodo, he places the tefillin on his forehead, meaning between the eyes, because he doesn't accept what the Chachamim say that Bnei Necha has to be Keneged Bnei Necha. Or, for example, says the Mishnah, he places his tefillin shel yad al pas yado on the palm of his hand. He wraps around his tefillin. Harezu derech minus. And as we said, the minim deny chazal. And the first case that we had is that he placed his tefillin al mitzcho. So Rashi says, and this is again about 10 lines up from the bottom, so tell me, Moshe, if you can find it. Harezu derech minus. You have it? Shemevazin midrash chachomin v'holcher achar hamashma kimashmon. You know, they read the text of the Torah just the way it says it. It says Beinei Necha, and they read it Mamish Beinei Necha. Al Yodecha means on your hand. For Rabbi Seinu Darshu B'Menachos B'Gzeres Shava Beinei Necha Ze Kad Kod Makom Shemucho Sheltinuk Rofeis. In other words, that Keneged Beinei Necha means up on the top of your head, on the soft spot. And then Al Yodecha is Gova Hayad, which is called in Hebrew the kibores, which I think in English is called a bicep, if I remember correctly, is kibores berosh hazro. It's on the top of the arm. And why should tehe sima keneged alev? Because there's a relationship between tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. The tefillin shel rosh has to be keneged beinei necha, and the tefillin shel yad should be keneged alev. And they are rejecting the drasha of Chazal. And therefore, Rezu Derech Minus. The Mishnah goes on. Tzipon Zav. This Iber Chacham thinks he's gonna plate his tefillin on the outside. Gold plated tefillin. Could you imagine if you would go to an art, you know, just one of these places down here, you know, that sell Judaica, and there's going to be a top price for gold plated tefillin. But that's a rejection of Chazal, as Rashi is going to tell us. This is the first of the line of the wide lines in Rashi at the bottom of the page. Ksiv leman tia Torah Hashem beficha. And what does beficha mean? Beficha means shehe akol mi behema tahora, that everything that makes up the tefillin should be taken from a kosher animal. This excludes, of course, a non-kosher animal, but it also excludes anything that's not edible. It's not from an animal. Or the next case in the Mishnah, again, four lines up from the bottom, is Nosna al Beis Unki Shalo. Now we're talking about Tefillin Shel Yad, and he wraps his Tefillin Shel Yad. Rashi, again, six lines up from the bottom, says al Beis Yad Levusha Mibachutz. He wraps it on top of the sleeve so it's exposed to the outside. I raise it Derech HaChitzonim. Now, what's this phrase Chitzonim? Until now, we spoke about Derech HaMinim. So you look at Rashi, the last of the skinny lines. Rashi says, "Bnei Adam haholchim achrei datam." So what does the word chitzonim mean? It means chutz midas chachamim. They're on the outside. They don't accept the opinion of the chachamim. The chachamim say that what does it mean? Li'os al yodecha be'inan lecha la'os. It says lecha la'os in the pasuk. V'lo la'cherim la'os. Now, as opposed to tefillin shel rosh, which are exposed to the outside, shem shem nikra lecha, in the case of tefillin shel yad, it's got to be lecholos velola cherim lios. No one is meant to see it. And he's placing his tefillin on the sleeve. So the Ran says that the reason why the Mishnah here uses the language chitzonim and not derech minus is because this person has accepted the chachomim to some extent. He's what you call ambiguous. He is, what do they say, ACDC. Because on the one hand, he's not putting his tefillin on his hand, completely rejecting Chazal. He accepts Chazal that it's got to be keneged alev, but he rejects Chazal who say that it's lecholios, v'lo lacherem lios, and therefore he is karov lios min velo min mamish. In other words, he accepts the gzeira shava, but he rejects this drasha of lachali os. So his tefillin are perfect tefillin, and not only that, he's putting it in the right part of his body. The problem is that he dafka wants to expose it and place it on top of his shirt sleeve, and that's because he refuses to accept Chazal's interpretation of v'hayu l'chala os. So that, according to the Ran, it makes him into karov l'min v'lo min mamish. And that, Rashi says, makes him into one of these chitzonim. Chitzonim means he's chutz midas chachomim. And that, I think, will lead us to the Gemara. We finish the Mishnah. My time of chayshinan shem minus nizr kobo. Ha'oset filoso agula sakona vi'einba mitzvah. So the first statement in the Gemara, my taima, why is it that if a person puts on tefillin that around is ein bar mitzvah? Just one second. I'm sorry, I didn't read this correctly. Give me a second here. Where am I? What does it mean? Just one second. I'm sorry. My time. Where am I? Ugh. Sometimes I lose my place. Omer. So we discussed that. And then we have... Oh, now I found my place. Sorry. So this, my timer, goes back to the first part of the Mishnah. My mistake. The first part of the Mishnah says that if he declares, I'm not going to stand up in front of the tzibur because I'm not wearing a white shirt, is the Mishnah says lo yavar bilavanim. Even if he wears a white shirt, we're not going to let him play the role of the shliach tzibur. My time is tomorrow. Says what's so terrible? He wants to be makvid on a white shirt. So the Gemara answers chayshinon shema minus nizr kobo. So this my time actually goes on two cases in the Mishnah. Not only the case where he insists on a white shirt, but also in the case where he insists on barefoot. Right? Because all this is minus nizr kobo. This is the derech haminim. That's the way they would pray. They would insist on wearing white begadim, and they would insist on praying barefoot. Okay. Now again, yesterday we mentioned that the Ran has a different pshat than Rashi. The Ran thinks that insisting on a white shirt is just, it's not derech minus, but it's just shtus. And since he's doing these stupid things, therefore we're afraid that maybe he's also nizuka bo minus. They'll get a hold of him. Alright. Ha'oset filos ha'gula sakonavein ba mitzvah lema tanina. Shall we bring a proof from a brisa to our Mishnah? Meaning, can the brisa further support the Mishnah? Here's what it says in the brisa: Tfilin mirubos halacha l'Moshe misina. The requirement of square tfilin is halacha l'Moshe misina, and he's wearing round tfilin. The Amar Rava, Rava says based on that brisa that tifron, when a person sews up his tfilin, then tzarech lizor shelo lekalkel haribua b'meshichas chut hatfira. Do you see that Rashi there? That's three lines up before the end of the page. Shutofer beis moshavon, right? The tefillin shel rosh have a flat part on the bottom, the broader part, the base you would call it, and he has to sew that up. So he has to be very careful, says Rav Shlomo Yikalkel Ribuam. When he pulls the stitches tight, right, he might somehow impact on the Ribuah.
Right, because he'll pull it in.
He'll pull it in, right.
He'll pull it in and he'll...
Right. Now, then it says, Rav says, Ba'alakson. He also has to be careful about the diagonal. So Rashi explains what this is all about. Rashi says that since we have Halach L'Moshe Misinai, that tefillin have to be square, therefore he has to be very careful that it's absolutely square. And if it's absolutely square, then he has to calculate both the width and the length, right? Every square has the length going up and down and the width going sideways, but he also, in order to make sure that it's absolutely square, he has to be careful of the measurement of the diagonal. So Rashi says, what are the exact measurements? He says, again, it's always going to change depending on your size of your tefillin, but Rashi gives us the minimum tefillin, the smallest tefillin, and the smallest tefillin, Rashi says, is etzba rochav. You see there's two lines up before of the end of the page. Etzba berochav uba'orach. So it's got to be 2 by 2. And what is now the measurement of the alaxon? So you're absolutely certain that it is square, perfectly square. And that's going to be etzba ushnei chomshin ba'alaxon. So it's going to be 1 etzba plus 2/5 of an etzba. Now all this is based on a sugya, a very famous sugya in Sukkah Daf Ches, which is one of the few cases in Shas that I remember that Rashi has actually a picture. And that's called pi, I think, in our language. So Rashi says over there that it's a little bit off. It's actually, I think, an irrational number, if I'm not mistaken, but it's a little bit off precision, but we rounded off to, pardon the pun here, because we're talking about rounded filling, but we rounded off to 2/5, meaning it's going to be 1 2/5. Rav Papa says, Masnisin de avida ki amguza. The Mishnah is not. The Mishnah does not prove anything about the Braisa, meaning the Braisa wants to establish that the requirement of Mirubos is based on Halacha Moshe Vissen. He can't prove that from the Mishnah. Why? The Mishnah is not saying that any tefillin, if they're not perfectly square, are Einba and Mitzvah, apostle. No. The Mishnah is talking about a case where his tefillin are like amguza. Amguza is like a walnut, which is used in Chazal as a perfectly round circle. Right? It's completely circular. Well, that's not the word I need, but anyway. So he says the following. That would be a sakana, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Now, between square and amguza, ki amguza, which is ke'egos, there's a middle category. And that middle category is agulos kebetza, which on the one hand is not exactly round, but on the other hand it's certainly not square.
Right.
So what would be the status of tefillin agulos kebetza? Until now we spoke about masnisin davida ki amguza, it was perfectly circular. But what if it's not perfectly circular? It's a bit
elliptical.
What's the word in English for something?
Oval.
Spherical.
It's oval.
Oval. Okay. Oval. Okay. So now, in the case of something that's oval, that is not a danger. Why? Because it has a certain flat part to it that sits on the head. It's not totally round. And therefore, there's no proof from our Mishnah that such tefillin, which are agulos kibetza, and in the absence of sakana, would be psulos. One could argue that if there's no sakana, because it's not perfectly round, then it's ksheros. The answer is it's not ksheros because it's halacha l'moshe misinai. But you can't prove anything from the Mishnah. So therefore, again, going back to the Mishnah, and specifically to Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi says, ha'osa tfiloso agula, so it's interesting. Okay. Rashi adds kibetza because he knows the rice and the halacha l'moshe misinai.
What do you have for Rashi after?
The second time that this happened today, Moshe. Okay. Again, it's 15 lines above.
No. Read the Rashi. You said kibetza. What's the next word?
Ukeegos. Egos is the Hebrew translation of the word amguza. The egos is perfectly round. Rashi throws in kibetza.
Rashi's at the bottom of the page, that's why.
But I'm just pointing out that Rashi adds kibetza. Now the truth is that in the Mishnah itself, I would object. It's not kibetza. Kibetza is not so dangerous. Ke'egos is dangerous, but not kibetza. But Rashi knows the halacha l'moshe misinai. So Rashi's interpreting the Mishnah of Ein Bar Mitzvah de Merubos Be'inon. You see that, Rashi? ain bar mitzvah demerubos be'inon, and therefore there would be there would be a problem of oset filoso agula kebetza. You don't understand what I'm saying? But the Gemara is telling us that if you wanted to be argumentative about it and say, well, I can prove to you from the Mishnah that you need merubos, and without merubos it's possible. No, I could have been argumentative. I'll play the devil's advocate. The Mishnah is talking about agulos ke'egos. But if it would have been agulos ke'beitza, it would be kosher. Why? Because there's no element of sakana.
Okay.
Alright, finally we got to the next Mishnah. Omer. And now we turn to Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. A man declares the following in the context of tefillah. And all this whole Mishnah is about how careful we have to be when we pray to Hashem about what we say. Yivarchucha tovim. May the tovim means those who receive benevolence and goodness from God. They should bless you. So Rashi says, She'eno kolel rishoyim b'shvachu shel makom. Okay, so... Okay, I'm sorry, I went a little too far. Who are the Tovim here? The Tovim describe a group of people, says Rashi, who are good people, meaning they are righteous people. The opposite of Tovim are the Rishoyim. And basically by saying Yivarchucha Tovim, what you're implying is may the righteous people bless you, but let's not invite the evildoers to bless you. You don't want the evildoers here joining us for prayer and for praise to God. Harezu derech minus. This means, says Rashi, that he's denying chachamim. And why is he denying chachamim? Rashi quotes a very famous Gemara in Krisus about the chelbana. Amongst amongst the 11 herbs that make up the Ktores, 10 out of 11 have a fragrant odor. One of them has actually a foul odor. That's called the chelbana. Now there's a new theory that chelbana is cannabis. I don't know if you heard about this. You didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't hear.
Yeah. Because apparently cannabis has a bad odor. I don't know. I'm not sure. And he says...
Some people think it's a nice odor.
Yeah. Okay. That's because they have all... That's also many other things in their mind, right? Yeah. The other 10 Sabamonim.
Yeah.
Right? So he says the following. Umana akosu ben Sabamonim akhtores, even though it's Recha Ra, it's included in the Khtores. Shematzrichan akosuv bahatza osan. When we prepare the Khtores, you have to mix in the Chelbana, Lios Baguda Achas. And the Gemara there establishes that called Tainus Sheidim Ami Posh Yisrael have Tainus, so that we don't have a good successful fast and pray to Hashem without inviting the Rishon, right? Al Das Hamokam, Al Das Hakol, and Matim Lispal and Avaryone. So this Chazal is something that's not on the radar screen of the person who declares Yivarchucha Tovim, because he's saying that only the Tovim should be invited to pray to Hashem. Now, if you look at Tosis, Dibra Masli Varchucha, he has a second pshat in Inami. And he says, Inami Mishum de Mechse Kishte Rishuyos, Chlomar Elohim Tovim. Mm-hmm. Now, in English, again, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, because there's a G at the beginning of the word, but I don't think you pronounce the G. It's called Gnosticism. Right, a Gnostic, but again, you don't pronounce the G, is someone who believes that there's a God of good and there's a God of evil, Rachman al-Islam, if he believes that. So when he says, Yivarchucha Tovim, according to Tosfos Second Pshat, what he's saying is that we receive good from you, God, as if to say that there's another God, Chasshon, right, who's in charge of evil.
But Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says, Tovim, that he's saying that there are two gods, like the Greeks, they had more than one God. So that's more likely. It seems what Tosfos is saying.
Right,
no?
Maybe you're right.
Right? So I'm just going to... Right. There's more than, like the same when the Gemara talks about modim. If the person says modim twice, right? The Gemara in Brachos says... If he says
we're going to get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah, okay. But it's modim twice.
Line.
Modim twice is because it's two... He's saying there's two gods.
Hmm.
So maybe that... I'll
just read to you again, not that... He says the following... Ba'osa zman, at the time of the Mishnah, hayu haminim omrim, hayu minim sha'omrim, sheyeshnam shtei rishoyos hamanhigim, echad lehati v'echad lehora. V'kevin sha'omer yivarchucha tovim, mashma, osam sha'ata meitiv lahem. In other words, you'll be blessed by those who receive your good. Not the way Rashi said it, you'll be blessed by those who are good, who are righteous, but those who receive your good. V'nira midvarov she'eno eloha elohem, that he is the God for them, for those who receive good, chas v'shalom. He's not the God for those who receive evil. Osha, does that fit into your pshat, or it's a little different than your pshat? I don't know. Anyway.
Say, I mean, either way.
So Rashi, again, let's go with Rashi here, because Rashi says that he's excluding the Rishoyim from joining together for tefillah. Then we get to the next person. And, oh wait, so let's keep in mind that on the Reisha case in this Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Harezu derech minus. In the next two cases, actually three cases, the Mishnah is going to say Mishaskin Oso. So I think I've told you in the past that there's a very popular achron on Masech the Megillah, which is quoted in the Masifta Keseder, called the Sifsei Chacham. Sifsei Chacham is going to try to rack his brains and figure out why in the first case of Yevarchucha Tovim it says Hareza Derech Minus, and in the next three cases, which we're going to learn now, it just says Meshaskin Oso. He understands that Meshaskin Oso is not Derech Minus, it's just that this is an inappropriate statement. So the first one I understand pretty well. That's not derech minus. He says, "Al kan tzipor yagiu rachamecha." In other words, that just like God, you have compassion on a kan tzipor because you have a mitzvah of sending away the mother bird before you take the fledgling birds. You have rachmanus on the tzipor, so you should also have rachmanus on us. But he's indicating, again, it's going to be a tremendous machlokas in the Gemara, what's so bad about what he's saying, but I'm going to take one shot, and that is he's indicating that I understand the mitzvah, Hashem. I know why you commanded us to shoo away the mother bird before we take the it's all because of your rachmanus. So he's reducing the mitzvah and identifying it with his interpretation of the mitzvah. And again, it's going to be problematic because as soon as you interpret a Mishnah, you're going to get into all sorts of problems. Like, for example, why is it Tafka Kantzipo? What about other, you know, animals and creatures? Maybe even bugs on the ground. You have to be careful about it. But the Torah only says it about the tzipor. So if you're going to reduce it to your explanation, it's problematic. I mean, B'lin Eder, we'll have to talk about the Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim, because the whole Moreh Nevuchim enterprise is problematic. To say that the Rambam, I'm going to explain to you all the mitzvahs, and that's why the Moreh Nevuchim, by the way, in certain sections, was never accepted. Anyway, that's on the side. The next guy says the following, V'al tov yizocher shemecha. Let's remember you for the good that you, let's recognize and acknowledge your goodness, God. And here there's a real serious problem, because as the Gemara's point out, we thank Hashem for everything, even things that look to us not as tov, but even as ra. That's called Baruch Dayan Pames. And the third case here in the Sefer the Mishnah is Modim Modim. And here again is Machlokas what he means. Either he says every word twice, or he says the entire Modim, then he repeats it a second time. Is Meshaskin also. In these cases, again, there's some sort of failure or lack in his faith. He doesn't have an entire faith in the mitzvah. He thinks he can limit the mitzvah and speculate about the reasoning, the rationale of the mitzvah, or he thinks that God should be blessed only for the good. And we're going to have to see about modim modim, that modim modim is going to be a real problem here for the Sifsei Chacham, because the Gemara is going to identify modim modim as shtei reshuyos. And we said before that, at least according to the Ran's pshat, Yivarchucha Tovim is shtei reshuyos, and Tosus has it in the second pshat in his Tov, and that's derech minus. You know, that's not just a simple problem. That's really identifying with the minim and their ideology. So I'm just pointing out to you that the Sifsei Chacham was trying to explain the difference between the Reisha of Yevarchucha Tovim and the Sefer starting with Kan Tzipor, etc. he's going to have a problem, where it only says Mishaskino, so he's going to have a problem with the case of Modim Modim, because that should really fit into Harezo Derech Minus. So keep that question in mind. Now the next part of the Mishnah is quite complicated, but I'm going to try to do the best I can. The Mishnah says, Hamachane, and Rashi is going to spend a long time trying to figure out what the word Hamachane means. And just to give you the bottom line here, Rashi quotes many sources to prove that the word Hamachane, or the word Kinui, means to change the interpretation of the pasuk. In other words, the pasuk means X, and you decide that it means Y. That's called Machane. What pasuk does the Mishnah have in mind? But again, it could be other psukim as well. The pasuk of Arayos. The Torah says in the parasha Arayos, "Ervas avicha ve'ervas imecha lo segala," which means that a man is not to have a relationship with his father's wife, even after his father dies, or his mother's husband, what we call stepfather, right? And instead, this fellow comes along and he says, no, the pasuk is not really referring to arayos. What the Torah means by erva is called a davar kalon, kuf lamed vav nun. That's a very popular word in Masechta Sanhedrin. And basically it means something of disgrace. And what he does is, in order to violate this Isur, according to these Meshaskin people, that we have to be Meshasek, they claim that the Pasuk is telling us, don't disgrace your father or your mother by revealing some disgraceful story publicly. And that's what the Pasuk is talking about. But we know that that's not so. The Pasuk cannot be taken out of its simple meaning. We're talking in the parasha of Arayos, and a man had an illegal sexual relationship, in this case with his stepfather and stepmother, and that's, or I should say, her stepfather or his stepmother, right? So that's what it says over here. And they take it out of the pshat. And the Mefarshim go even beyond that, because they're implying that if a person would defame his father or mother publicly by revealing some sort of libel or some sort of disgraceful story, that he would be chayav kares. I mean, the Torah says in this particular context of lo segala, that v'nichras ha'nefashos, which means that in the case of shogeg, he's going to have to bring a korban chatas if he had such a relationship. And according to their pshat, that's not so. So they're really fakruming the pshat. You know, they're distorting the pshat in the Torah. And the Meiri says, no sane kares b'mezid v'shogeh v'chatas v'shogeh l'mishem agalit v'akolon b'aviv v'imo, that he reveals some sort of terrible, embarrassing, humiliating story of slander and disgrace about his father or his mother. Okay. Then we have the case of Ha'omer Umizarachol Ositein Lahavir Lamolech. And here too there's going to be an issue as to what exactly is this person doing with the Pasuk. And he's going to say, Lo Sitein Li'abara Bi'armiyusa. Armiyusa is what we call a non-Jewish woman. We call it a shiksa, or in the Gemara's language it's usually called a kusis. And he's going to interpret this pasuk about Molech, which was a form of the most extreme form of idol worship, in which they took their son and they brought him to Molech, and he was burnt at the stake over there. So they, instead of saying that the pasuk is telling me that you're not allowed to do this and it's one form of avodah zarah, they say no. What the Torah means is don't have a relationship with a kusis, because if you will, the child of that relationship is going to be designated for avodah zarah, for like Molech. And therefore it comes out, according to their misinterpretation of the pasuk, that the Torah is not prohibiting Molech itself, which that's bad enough, but what's even worse, perhaps, is that he's saying that someone who has a relationship with a kusis is violating this terrible Isur, which is a capital crime. And he says in the name of the Aruch, Omnom Efshal Lidrosh Kachas HaPasuk, he says you could, you know, expand the meaning of the pasuk al pidrush and say the Torah is also repudiating someone and finds it repulsive for someone to have a relationship with a shiksa. But the Mishnah is opposed, because if you're going to say that that's pshat in the Mishnah, then you don't have the simple pshat in the Mishnah about someone who's maver es bonav l'molach. And not only that, he says that it would seem that from this this new interpretation, it would only apply in a case of a nation that observes or worships Moloch. If you have a nation that's not interested at all in Moloch, as most of the nations of the world, then maybe you could have a relationship with such a girl. You know, if she comes from, I don't know, if she comes from Rome, maybe they don't do this Moloch thing. I don't know. So maybe I could have a relationship with this woman because I'm not giving birth to a child who's going to be taken from Moloch. And then it says, Meshaskin oso benizifa. And here we have a long discussion based on a Gemara Moed Katan, exactly what Nezifa is. Nezifa is close to a Nidui, but it's not exactly a Nidui. Nezifa means that Adam Gadol Goer Bo Al Chutzpaso, they should make sure that some great leader or elder statesman will rank him out, will tell him that he's a chutzpidik for saying this pshat. And then the din is that the nizof, the person who, or the ninzof actually in correct grammar, he has to be mamait b'schok. Notice he has to take upon himself a certain behavior pattern which he limits his joking around. The dibur, he's not supposed to speak, or not to, he says what's absolutely necessary. Ubasakov, and he should not go out to work. V'yoshev v'beso, he should sit in his house. V'ye nichlam, he should be in a very humiliated situation. U'mitzayr atzmo l'roav, and he constantly demonstrates in front of the people how much he's upset about what he said and what he did. V'yeshev kach kol zman nezifa shehu l'bnei Yitzchil shivayom v'chutzatz yom echad. Okay, this is all a sugya in Masechta Mo'ikot, in Shulchan Aruch Yerodesh, in Lamed Dalet, that in Eretz Yisrael it's a full 7 days. We're always more machbir with punishments in Eretz Yisrael because it pollutes the pure atmosphere of the land. But in Chutzah, it's 1 day of Nezifa is enough. Now, according to the Aruch that we mentioned earlier, that Meshaskin also is because it comes out that according to him, you're allowed to have a relationship with a woman from a different nation where that nation is not guilty of Moloch, that's not their paganistic society. So he says that this should be more than just Nezifa, and it's clear cut here why the Mishnah adds the word Meshaskin also, because this is a terrible misunderstanding. And I'll just read to you the last line, and then we'll call it for this morning. It says, "Iker kavanas hakosuv, hu lachayev bekaches habas haba alakusis b'mezid b'kares ukshahayu edim v'asra yischayev af misus bezdin." The way he's interpreting this pasuk, he's undermining the interpretation of the pasuk, and he's telling us that the man has a relationship in a deliberate, intentional way in front of witnesses, etc., with a kusis, then he's going to be chayev mises bezin. It becomes a capital crime, like the case of Moloch, which explicitly the Torah says you put the parents to death, and that already undermines the entire structure of the Torah. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Let's make a little note of where we got up to. And Beli Neder will try to finish up this Mishnah and maybe even start the next Mishnah tomorrow.